From Dog Works Training Centers, professional canine training centers in Denver, Colorado, and Anchorage, Alaska. This is Dog Works Radio, committed to families and their dogs to build lifelong and fulfilling relationships. Visit our website at dogworksradio.com. Dog Works Radio is part of Twine Group Media and syndicated worldwide on blogtalkradio.com. Now, here are your hosts, Robert and Michelle Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto hosting from the mushing capital of the world, Willow, Alaska, and our home here at Timaneke. It is a balmy 45 degrees, and we are in the midst of training for the upcoming mushing season. My daughter Nicole is out hooking up a team right now, so if you do hear some dogs barking in the background, that's a brood of sled dogs getting ready to run. So apologize for that as we're going in. And tonight we're going to welcome back a guest we had on a few months ago to talk about her new book, Arctic Storm. Her name is Joanne Sundell. She's calling in from Redondo Beach, California. I would imagine it's a little bit nicer down there than it is up here. What do you think?
Yes, it is indeed, and I'm in my shorts. So, but I would love to be there with you guys in Willow. I absolutely would. It's always bizarre to me this time of the year because I've spent so much time in Colorado. This time of the year, and you don't wear shorts in the mountains there. But I'm in my shorts. I'm in my shorts by the sea. Yes.
Very nice, very nice. I'm looking forward to hitting up the beach ourselves. We're heading up to Hawaii for a few days towards the end of the month. It'll be nice to see the sun for a little while.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. It does.
So Joanne, I know we had you on a couple of months ago to talk about your new book, but before we get into that, will you tell folks who you are and what you're all about, please?
Who I am and what I'm about. My goodness. Well, I am an author, and like probably many of you out there, I've done a lot of other things in life, but at some point when you've read a lot of books, you maybe decide, okay, instead of reading more books, maybe I'll try to write my own. And you try that, you do the things you need to do to begin to do that work. And so that's kind of what I am. I'm retired from the field of nursing. I'm a grandma and all those things that a lot of you do as well. But I have 6 published books with 5-star Gale, Cengage Learning, and they're considered historical, and they might be considered women's fiction, frontier romance. I mean, you can call it a lot of things. What's happened is I've switched now onto this road of young adult crossover I'm still in historical fiction, but in fact, it's taking on more of elements of fantasy that I never thought about doing. So I'm sort of a changeling. I've switched genres a little bit. So while I write full-time, it's a full-time avocation and not a vocation. I probably couldn't feed the family on what I might earn. But anyway, I'm doing what I enjoy doing, which is the absolute best. So I feel very fortunate to be able to do that. And I'm long in the teeth again, Robert, so you just tell me to hush.
Oh, no problem at all. Before we get into the books that will obviously interest our readers, especially our husky owners, I'm definitely interested in talking about that. But tell us a little bit about some of your other works. I've looked at a few on your website. Tell us about those, and you know, maybe a quick overview about one or two of them.
Well, sure. And years ago, when we first moved to the mountains in Colorado, I was an avid lover of romance novels, historical romance. As soon as we moved to the mountains in Colorado, if you've got that mindset and you look around and the whole mountain area became a romantic figure to me, I just fell in love with it. You fall in love with the area, you fall in love with the history of the area. I began to delve into that, and I started to find heroes and heroines in history that I might try to tackle and put in a book. So my first book was Matchmaker, Matchmaker. Real quick, the heroine, a young Jewish doctor who emigrated from the East Coast at a time when women were not allowed into medical schools, and in fact there was a very short window of time on the East Coast when you could get into medical school, and we're talking, oh shoot, back 1880-ish. So my heroine is a young Jewish doctor who graduates, emigrates west, becomes a young Jewish doctor on the frontier, and that journey was fascinating for me. Set in Colorado, my first four books, all absolutely set there. And then I went to Colorado Springs for my history, a young deaf heroine. It's the Colorado School for the Deaf and Blind. It used to be called the Colorado School for the Education of Mutes. So I'm deaf in one ear, very hard of hearing in the other. I was fascinated by the school that started in Olathe, Kansas. You know, the folks who ran it were related to all the Lon Chaney family. So they settled in Colorado Springs, opened the school, and I found my heroine there, my next heroine there. And it was hard to write that book, and I think it was my first step into the young adult crossover when I didn't realize it, because when you try to write a deaf heroine, it's hard. It was hard for me, and I wanted to represent her as well as I could. Same as trying to create dogs as characters, which I've tried to do in my last series. It's hard, and I hope I've succeeded. You will all be able to tell me if I have or not. After that, I wrote The Parlor House Daughter. I was very interested in young women. How many books are there about prostitutes on the frontier? A lot. The subject never gets old. It was a very troubling time. People had to make a living and to survive on the frontier, and a lot of women ended up at the end of the line. And I was fascinated by young people who were born in some of these old mining towns in Colorado, were in Denver, and they ended up in the parlor house life. And so that was my third book. Then my fourth book was sort of my first book I ever wrote, which is sort of an homage to Charlotte Bronte's Jane Eyre, and I sort of turned that into a historical romance set in Colorado. Then, real quick, I had an historical duet, but it was based on the East Coast in Civil War Virginia. I grew up there. I was born there. So the history there absolutely fascinated me because I grew up, I went to school in Virginia, and realized how little I actually knew about slavery in Virginia and all of Virginia's wonderful historical roots, but there were some missing links about a lot of things that went on in Virginia where I grew up. And both of my great-great-grandfathers fought in the Civil War. And so the story, I just glommered to this point in history where both of my young heroines, one's a young slave, one is a young girl who disguised herself as a man to fight in the Civil War, and this actually happened. And then, of course, I had to turn all that into love stories because they actually happened as well. So those were my first six books, and they were historical romances, but I hope set in the actual historical accounting of what happened during those times. And so then you jump to my series now, my trilogy based in the Arctic West, about sled dogs, about the Siberian husky. I tried absolutely to be true to an historical accounting, but at the same time, I wanted to tell a story. And it led me down a path that I had to go. And there you have it, sir.
Let me jump in there real quick. A lot of information there about your books. And before we go further, I know you have said off air that your website is under construction, but it will be up soon.
Yes.
It's joannesundell.com, but you're also very active on Facebook, so you can find her over there. Just check out Sled Dog Books as well, and I think that will come up too. So before we get into the trilogy, Joanne, I need to know a little bit about historical fiction. When you say those two terms, how much history is there and how much is made up in a typical book? Do you take places and times and scenarios to develop this story, then add your own twist to it? What is your definition of historical fiction?
Well, it's very tricky. I absolutely think it is, because you always have to, at least my my goal and my test is to reconcile history with writing a story that's going to entertain and teach. So it's hard for me to define that, and I'm not trying to avoid answering, but I think it varies. I think what I go by is that you do the accurate historical research, so you know when you veer from that and you know when you do not. And you have to respect the reader, and you can't tell the reader things that are not true, but you feel more comfortable in offshooting from the truth because you know where you can do it. And I don't mean to be vague, but if I can put my nursing cap on for a moment, you can always be a safe practitioner in the medical field, I believe, if you know what you know and you know what you don't know. So you can take care of someone and you're comfortable in that, but then if you question maybe a medication or an action that you're supposed to follow through with, you've got to check that out, and you've got to make sure you're on the right track. So I think historical fiction, it does sound oxymoronish. But I think you're always safe if you base a story and put it in the context of truth, and you always put an acknowledgement at the beginning of anything you write. And you need to alert the reader to what you're doing. And if you alert the reader and you respect the reader, then they'll go with you down a path that leads them to fiction. Does that make any sense?
It does. And you know what I'm saying? It does. What I'm thinking about, Joanne, is, you know, today, especially, I mean, they have whole channels dedicated to this type of stuff on cable.
Right.
And a
right.
lot of our youth today, they are learning their history through these docudramas or these reenactments
mm-hmm.
and things that aren't
right.
necessarily the full truth. And good, bad, or indifferent, it's not necessarily the true story of what happened, but this is different. Going in, when you're reading your books, the time and place may be the late 1800s in the mountains of Colorado, but there may not be somebody named Jane Smith or somebody of that aspect that is true to life, but at least we know that at least the surroundings are accurate and what happens in the story is left to our own imagination. Is that right?
Yes, it is right. And I can tell you this much. You will get caught. I mean, you know, it's classic when you write a romance that if you write historical romance, you might not have to have a lot of facts in it, but the facts you have better be factual. And people will call you on it. They'll catch it. And that's why I feel like I'm always safe. If I have that reader there, if I have the utmost respect for that reader, and I write with that in my head and heart, I think I'm always safe because readers will be very forgiving if they know your intentions are honorable.
Very nice. So, Joanne, let's jump right into Arctic Storm. When we talked last time, it had not been published, hadn't been released yet, and we told our listeners that we were going to have you on within a few days of its release, and I know it was released just a few days, possibly a week or so ago, and it's now out. People can get it, and I'm sure they're very anxious to read your story. So, as we mentioned, it's a trilogy, but what's happening in the first one, Arctic Storm?
In the first one, in Arctic Storm, it opens and it sets up certainly the scenario for the next two books. And I had to write three books because it's taken three to tell the story. But in the first book, you meet the characters. Anya, she's 13. She's a shaman. She's part white, and she's part native to Siberia. She is sort of an outcast in her own little coastal village, because the shamans there have told everyone that she's possessed. Even though girls could be shamans, the shamans in her at her home single her out from the very beginning as somebody who's possessed and an outcast. Her stepfather adds to this, he listens to the shaman. She has no love in her life except her grandmother, and a young boy who's been a friend of hers for a long time. But she has sort of the ability to be able to call out and help train the Siberian husky in the tribe. And this is where the Siberian Husky came from, the Chukchi dog. Over thousands and thousands of years, this dog developed and evolved due to very careful training and very careful breeding of these wonderful traits in this animal. And on Anya, the story opens with her, and it's her task. Something is there. Something is coming. You know right away there is something trying to get at these dogs and trying to kill off the Chukchi people, to trying to kill off their dogs. Something is after them. And it's Anya's task from the get-go to try and help save this dog. So that's where the action starts, on the far northeast coast of Siberia. And then it takes you across the Bering Sea to the Alaskan frontier. At that time in history, 1908, it was called the District of Alaska, and it opens up the whole frontier there and stresses and shows you the importance of why this dog, this breed, why it was so significant and important that this animal get to the East Coast or to the Alaska coast. And a lot of the story takes place in Nome. Anya meets and brushes up against, this is where the elements of fantasy begin, and I had no intention of writing any of this in, but the actual hosting of the amazing Chukchi people and the shamans and the spirits brood, and this history, the spiritual nature of what happened with this dog sort of just became apparent. So suddenly the story turned into a more fanciful exploration in history of what happened and what had to happen to save these dogs. And so the struggle begins once they hit the District of Alaska. Well, the struggle begins in Siberia. It continues, and it steps up when they hit the coast of Alaska and Nome. And really, the All Alaska Sweepstakes, which I know you're very familiar with, that predated the famous Iditarod, was taking place at that time, the heyday of the sled dog races was starting then. And so the Siberian Husky coming to the United States and intersecting with this historical amazing event of these all Alaska sweepstakes beginning sets up the groundwork for a lot of the story of all of this takes on tremendous significance in a very spiritual, fanciful way, because this is where history actually was, and this is where history actually took me in the story. So it's an historical, what folks are calling it now, a young adult crossover. So I think a lot of that comes from, I believe, the fact that my heroine is 13 years old when the story begins. And it goes from there. And so the first book takes you to a point of whether or not this first group of Siberian Huskies that make it to Alaska, are they going to be able to get into this race? Are they going to race? And what's going to happen when they do? Are any of them going to live through it? How is this going to happen, and why is this important? And I did want to mention one more thing, because I did talk to you about the fanciful elements. What happened because of the spiritual nature of the amazing Chukchi tribe, that was kind of coming out. So when Anya, my 13-year-old heroine, she brushes up against the Viking culture because of the Bering Sea and the Arctic and all of that influence there, the influences of the ice, it just came out that all of that legend and myth in times of old from the Vikings just had to come out, and that had to intersect with her spirit. So my hero, young Rune Johansson, who's 16 at the time, she meets him, and they together course to go across the Bering Sea and to try and fight in this fight that's just being set up. So, and those stories carry through on to two other books. But I guess my most, what I would like to be able to convey is that while this is an historical accounting, the elements of fantasy that are introduced, I believe, come out of the history of what actually happened. So,
and you know, that's okay. I mean, you're the author, so you can say pretty much whatever you want. And, you know, I received a copy of your book and read a great deal of it when I got it a few months ago when you were on before, and I do want to thank you for that. So, Joanne, we have about 6 minutes left, and I do have a couple of questions, not necessarily book-related, but at least some of your interest that came out of the book. My first question is, when are the next two of the trilogy going to be released?
Well, Arctic Shadow, and I just finished the final copy edits on that, and The Galley will be ready in a couple of months. That is set for release next June. That's next June. And then Arctic Will is the last book, which I am still working on doing rewrites for the ending. And I think ballpark-wise, it will be out in the summer of 2016. I have a deadline in terms of when I need to get the rewrites in, and if all goes according to schedule, it should be around summer of 2016.
Summer of 2016 will be the release of, what did you say, Arctic Will?
Arctic Storm, followed by Arctic Shadow, and then Arctic Will.
Tell me, Joanne, how do you find out so much information about these little Siberians? What significance do they play in your life?
Well, I think if you look on my website and you see, I had Siberian Huskies as pets for over 40 years, certainly nowhere near the level of folk, amazing folks like you who train and run these dogs, but I had them as pets. My husband and I found our first dog in a circus cart in Pueblo, Colorado, this cute little pup, and the rest there is history in terms of we just kept getting Siberian Huskies. I fell in love with the breed. They're wonderful, wonderful animals. So when my last dog, Xander, died about a year ago, and I had been set on finding my next heroine in the Arctic regions of Seattle and beyond, and the Yukon and Alaska, I wanted to write about some of these women that achieved amazing things right alongside men. And because I lost one of my dogs at about that time, I was just really grief-stricken, and I couldn't concentrate on what I was trying to do. And then sort of a light bulb went on because I had all this research about the area and whatnot, and it was just right there in front of me, dogs, dogs, dogs. What did everyone's life depend on in that time in history? If you were in that part of the world, a big part of your life depended on dogs. And if you had them and how you ran them and what you did with them. And so I was fascinated. That's how the mail got through and everything else. So I was fascinated. So then I began to look into the origins of the Siberian Husky. And that's when I was just chilled to the bone when at the end of my researching them and I found out what happened to them in Russia, I just had to try to do my best to tell that story. So that's why my book, you know, that's why I tried to set down what I did. And so we'll see. And my goal has been to honor my dogs and the Siberian Husky, absolutely. So if I achieve that in any way with even one reader, you know what? I'm happy. I'm happy about that.
Well, I can say that you have, and being the proud owner of Siberians since 1997, I've known a quirk or two about a Siberian, so I think that you've done the breed justice for sure,
and I do appreciate thank you so much.
No problem. I do appreciate your work and all that you're doing to talk about them. You know, there are, I don't know, 170-odd purebred dogs recognized by the AKC, and every one of us have our special breed, whatever it is, whether it's the German Shepherd or the Labrador or the Siberian or the Malamute or whatever. Everybody is very partial to theirs. But I think that the Siberian owners are a little bit mystical, if you will. You talked about fantasy. They do have that special place in our lives and in our hearts that just touches that special way, whether they're pulling a sled or giving that goofy look or showing us those beautiful blue eyes that a lot of them have. You know, it's just that special way of connection that they have. So, Joanne, about a minute left. We definitely want to make sure that we're pointing people in the right direction. As we mentioned, very active on your Facebook page. Check her out there. Joanne Sundell is her name. Sundell is how you spell it.
A new author page that I just started on Facebook, too. So I have two of them there. So I hope you like me.
Yes,
I'm trying to learn to like other people. I hope they like me.
Yes, we will. Are your books for sale on Amazon, at Barnes & Noble, other places where people can find them?
Yes. My books, and I think I mentioned in my last interview, and I certainly will say again, my books primarily are for the library market, which basically means they're in hardcover. And so the picture on the hardcover actually, in fact, is the same as the one on the jacket of the book. So it's all one, you know, it's all the same. And so besides being available to the library market, certainly, yes, Amazon, online, and my books are available online at your local bookstore, and certainly on Amazon and at a lot of libraries. And if you go into a library and you tell them you would like my book to be in their library, chances are they will actually order it for that library. So that would be a great help to me and my dogs if folks go into their local library, if they don't see the book, they say, I'd love you to order the book for this library, and they will absolutely do that. And my books are available right now on Amazon in hardcover and as an ebook. So you
awesome.
Can do it both ways. You can do it both ways. However you want to do it, whatever's easiest.
Very cool. Joanne, it's been a pleasure as always. We'll definitely stay in touch. I know we talk quite a bit together on Facebook. So it's always a pleasure having you on, and we will definitely have you on when part two comes out as well. How's that?
Oh, Robert, you're great. You're great. And have a wonderful event with your doggies. My goodness. I wish I was there to watch. I can't believe you. I have to tell you, I have to say it again. The folks I run into in the Siberian Husky world, you guys are the busiest people on this earth, but you're the nicest.
Well, thank you very
you're
much.
You're generous to a man and woman. You're very generous, and I appreciate that so much.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for being on, and we'll talk again soon, okay?
Okay, Robert. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye. Joanne Sundell calling in today to talk about her brand new book, Arctic Storm. Check it out on Amazon, at your local library and bookstore. And check her out on Facebook. Check her out, Joanne Sundell. We'll talk to you guys next time. Goodbye.